Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, TGIF, the 10th of March, 2023, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer engineer on the board. We are happy that you have joined us for this end of the week show. Mr. Zommers, we are through hour number one into hour number two.
Yeah, and I, as always, am thoroughly upset about the idea of somebody's, like some, some parent having a child and thinking, I could have the unproven and, in fact, disproven possibility of my kid being autistic from a vaccine, or I can watch them die from a horrible illness.
Yeah, it's in case you didn't join us last hour, talking about the story in was in WisPolitics this morning, but put out fairly widely. The co-chair of the Joint Committee on Review of Administrative Rules, Senator Dewey Strobel, suspending a Department of Health Services policy rule that required vaccines for meningitis and chickenpox in our kids in school. Can't come up for a vote again until April of 2024. Doesn't mean that your kid can't get those vaccines if you want them to, but they'll no longer be required to in order to attend school in the state of Wisconsin.
Which means that other kids who sit next to your kids and sneeze on them might not be vaccinated.
That is correct. That is correct. Taking your phone calls this morning on that. Also talking about Joe Biden's budget a little bit this hour as well. Either one of those two topics, give us a call, 715-388-7155. Again, if you want to call in and join the show this morning, we appreciate it. We welcome your calls. We take all callers. Area code 715-388-7155. Again, one more time, if you need a pen and paper, if you want to grab your phone, save it, in case you want to call in and take it to Todd. Maybe that should be a segment. Take it to Todd. Just tell me what you think. Tell me off. Politely, of course. But area code 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155.
You know, coordinating people to all call at the same time to rip on you might be difficult. So if you have any roasts for Todd and you want to call and just tell me, I can write them down and I can relay them.
A Todd roast. Kind of like the old... you know, the old Dean Martin roast. Those were fantastic. The old DM, you have Don Rickles there and sometimes Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin. The old Dean Martin roast, celebrity roast. They just don't make TV programs like that anymore.
That's true.
what else they don't make anymore is, you know, nice weather, apparently. No, it's winter in Wisconsin. We can't complain too much. Snow falling across the state, ranging from kind of 3 to 4 inches up north all the way down to 9 inches closer to the Illinois border, the Madison area. Here in Madison, about 7 inches. That seemed to be the norm, stretching over to Richland Center, up to Wausau, less than that, and then over to Amory, maybe 4 inches or so there. So Kara Foster's forecast was pretty much spot on. Here is the forecast for around Wisconsin today and into tomorrow. First of all, for WRCE, Richland Center, snow this morning, maybe another half inch of accumulation possible, a high of 36 degrees. Tonight, then, mostly cloudy, a low of 22. Snow moves back in tomorrow. I expect maybe another half inch possible tomorrow, and then through tomorrow night, an additional 1 to 3 inches of snow possible for Saturday, a high on Saturday of 35 and a low Saturday night of 29. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, snow throughout the day today will be tapering off, maybe another inch or so possible today, a high of 34. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 16. Tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny in the morning, a chance for snow in the afternoon, a high of 31. Snow moves into Wausau on Saturday night, maybe around 3 inches expected for Wausau on Saturday night. Over in Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radio in Amory, Wisconsin. Snow ending this afternoon. Maybe another half inch to an inch of snow possible today, a high of 32. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 21. And then for tomorrow, Saturday, snow moves in again, a high of 29 degrees on Saturday, 1 to 3 inches possible on Saturday. Another 1 to 3 inches possible on Saturday night with a low of 25 degrees up in Amory. Taking a check of the winter road driving conditions courtesy of the state of Wisconsin right now. Most roads in Wisconsin have slippery stretches. Very few areas are what we would call good winter driving condition, although things are starting to improve a little bit around the Eau Claire area and also down around Monroe, over in Platteville, kind of in the southern part of the state, as some of those areas, I guess, warming up just a little bit more. Taking a look, zeroing in on the road conditions right now, first of all, for the Richland Center area, Richland Center Highway 18, pardon me, 18, Highway, that's what you get when you combine 80 and 14. Highway 80 north and south and 14 east to west. Both of those highways are considered slippery in stretches at this hour, so be careful if you're in the Richland Center area. Then moving up to the Wausau area, Wausau proper around there is slippery in stretches, including Highway 29. Up towards Merrill, snow-covered and slippery, and also between Merrill and Antigo this morning, slippery in snow-covered and slippery on Highway 64 this morning. Stevens Point remains a worrisome area along Highway 39 and also Highway 54 east to west, Highway 10 east to west, and Highway 66, Stevens Point to Rochelle this morning, ice covered. So definitely if you're headed towards Stevens Point, I would rethink that this morning. Over in Amory, several snow covered and slippery areas around Amory, including Highway 45 north to south and Highway 8 east to west between St. Croix Falls and Turtle Lake. Back with what you need to know after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show. It is 9:15 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nicely done there, Mrs. Somers. What is that from? Enlighten us, if you'd be so very kind.
That is Treat People with Kindness by Harry Styles.
Oh my gosh, I should know. Harry Styles. Harry Styles is the best. Treat People with Kindness. That's a great song. We should play it one more often. I like that. I like that a lot. We are happy to have you along with us on the Civic Media Radio Network on the Todd Allball Show. Coming up at about 15 minutes at the bottom of the hour at 9:30, we will be joined by Chad Holmes of the Chad Holmes Show, heard here every day from 2 until 4 on the Bull Falls Radio, WXCO in Wausau, Wisconsin. Chad is going to be joining us talking about all things Wausau, but particularly zeroing in on this issue over the weekend in the first part of this week where some anti-Semitic flyers were spread about the community. We had Mayor Katie Rosenberg on talking about it. Chad Holmes will be here at 9:30 to fill us in a little bit more on this disturbing issue in Wausau. Also this hour, we're going to talk a little bit about President Joe Biden's budget and what all is in it, what we can expect, and why haven't the Republicans offered their alternative as well. Also taking your phone calls this morning, area code 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. We go to the phones. Tom is on the phone from Richland County. Tom, how are you, my friend?
Hey, we're doing good today. I just got off the tractor plowing the snow on our 8 inches we got out here.
8 inches up and in northern Richland County. All right.
Yeah, I'm not happy to hear that we got another time coming because I just got the driveway clean.
Right.
It happens every year right around this time, don't it?
It does. Go ahead.
I just say the thing I wanted to call and tell you about is the good news about the snow is it melts and goes down and comes back up the trees and makes maple sap that we boil to make maple syrup.
Now that is absolute positivity right there. It is getting to be maple syrup time, right?
Well, we got about 10 gallons made, and we usually make 15 to 20.
Wow.
So we got a real early start, and even in January we made some.
Really?
But we haven't had this stretch of 8 or 10 days in a row yet, so we could break all our own personal records. And there's been really strange years. The climate change stuff seems to have really made a difference on the output and the color and all these different things. But
Have you seen, by and large, the maple sap increasing for maple syrup over the last couple of years, or?
No, decreasing. We had those drought years.
Yeah.
And typically, the first batch is real light, and then it gets darker, and at the end, it's real dark, like molasses.
Sure.
And we had years where the first batch was dark, and then we had last year, the first five batches were dark, and then it went light, and it's just totally weird.
Wow.
This year, the first six batches have been light.
Huh.
So,
interesting.
A lot of us think we know what's going on, but we don't really know at all what's going
Richland
on.
Richland County maple syrup, you can't beat it with a stick. The fine work up there. We appreciate you.
Yeah, and thanks for all your work on this politics stuff. We got lots to talk about that, but I just wanted to bring some good news in once in a while.
Well, we appreciate it. It's always good to have good news, particularly on a Friday, Tom. I appreciate that. Be safe out there on the tractor, and have a good weekend making that maple syrup.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you calling in. Some of positivity, always great news. See, I mean, Tom right there puts a positive spin. People will say, oh, geez, I want it to be spring. What's up with all this snow? Look at that. You get the snow, like Tom says, it melts, and then it comes back as maple sap, which we can make into maple syrup. Maple syrup, a huge industry in the state of Wisconsin, not just Richland County in southwest Wisconsin, but all over large parts of the state, up in the North Woods as well, right? Amory. Wausau area, maple sugar, maple syrup industry. It's a big deal in Wisconsin. I think I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be wrong. I think that Wisconsin is either second or third only to Vermont in the United States in maple syrup production. We're a big producer of maple syrup. So it's good news for modern man, as my social studies professor and teacher Ken Lewis is fond of saying. It is now 19 past the hour. Make it 20 past the hour of 9 o'clock. A couple of news headlines for you of what you need to know. Don't forget, call in if you want to. Mr. Zomers, you have a fact for us, a factoid?
I do. I have one thing that you might need to know, and that's that Wisconsin in 2022 was the fourth highest producer.
Oh, I missed it by a point. Story of my life.
Vermont yeah. with 2,500 gallons.
Wow.
New York with 845.
New York, all right.
Maine with 672, and then Wisconsin with 440. So Vermont, it's not even close.
Right. They got so many maple sugar trees there. It's just it's crazy. So very good. Wisconsin, the fourth largest producer of maple syrup in the United States. So a huge industry. Thank you, Mr. Zomers. We appreciate that. If you want to call in and add your takes on maple syrup or vaccines or the budget, it's a wide show today. Give us a call, 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. A couple of headlines for you at 21 past the hour of 9 o'clock. Seven people were killed during a mass shooting yesterday at a Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall in the German city of Hamburg in what the country's leaders denounced as a brutal act of violence. The alleged perpetrator also died in the incident, according to police, adding there is no confirmed information on the motive for the crime. Mexico kidnapping. A week after the kidnapping of four Americans in Mexico, investigators are still working to piece together on how and why the abduction unfolded. This comes after a cartel apologized for carrying out what one victim's father has called, quote, a senseless crime that left two Americans and one Mexican woman dead. The Gulf Cartel, as in G-U-L-F, not G-O-L-F, but G-U-L-F cartel, which is believed to be responsible for the kidnapping, also issued an alleged handwritten apology letter and handed over five of its members to local authorities. Chinese President Xi Jinping was reappointed today for another 5 years in a ceremonial vote in Beijing's Great Hall of the People, a highly choreographed exercise in political theater meant to demonstrate the legitimacy and unity of the ruling elite. He received a unanimous 2,952 votes, followed by a standing ovation. Gun laws now. A federal appeals court yesterday upheld a Florida law that raised the minimum age to purchase a gun from 18 to 21. The law was initially passed after 17 people were killed in a shooting by a 19-year-old at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in 2018. The 3-0 ruling from the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals comes as age-based restrictions are shaping up to become a flashpoint in the legal battles over gun access since the Supreme Court last year laid out a new test for determining a gun restriction's constitutionality. But the ruling may be short-lived after Republican lawmakers in Florida this week introduced a bill that would lower the minimum age required to buy a firearm in the state of Florida from 21 back to 18. How can you look those kids in the eye? Those kids who were at that high school, who have organized, who have gone to Washington, who have survived. How can you look the families in the eyes of parents who lost kids at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in 2018 and say, yeah, what we want to do is actually make it easier to buy a gun in Florida?
Through the scope. That's how you can look at them.
Well said. Well said. 3.2 million. That is how many Calico Critter toys have been recalled following the deaths of two children. The Consumer Product Safety Commission announced yesterday the toys, which can pose a serious choking hazard for small children, were sold at Walmart and other stores nationwide and online for the past two decades. If you have a Calico Critter, send it back.
Really?
When I worked at WRCO Richland Center years and years ago, there was a big advertiser. I don't know why, but a big advertiser on the CBS radio network was Mrs. Paul's Fish Sticks. And then the tagline, they do the commercial, and then there might be like this guy at the end. He had a great voice. And at the end of the tagline of this commercial was, if it's not Mrs. Paul's, throw it back. I love that. If it's not Mrs. Paul's, throw it back. So if you got a Calico Critter, throw it back.
I'll have to take a look because I know my niece Gracie has some. They're actually really cool. Very cute. Just little animals with different clothes and houses and stuff.
They're like a kitty version of Barbie or something? I don't know what these things are.
It's more like, how do I put it? I had an idea and I lost it.
That's fine. No worries. Well, here's something to fill the void. Once again, we'll repeat this story we've been talking about the first hour. The Joint Committee of Review for Administrative Rules in Wisconsin suspended portions of the Wisconsin Administrative Code, Department of Health Services, Rule Number 144, which would have added several mandatory vaccinations to the childhood immunization schedule. State Senator Dewey Strobel, the co-chair, blocked it, said that adding mandatory vaccines for meningitis and chickenpox to the litany of existing vaccination requirements under the childhood immunization schedule was a bad thing. Said they should not be enforced. So now it is blocked until at least April of 2024. Your child can still get a vaccine for meningitis and chickenpox, but it's no longer required, thanks to Republicans in this Wisconsin state legislature. The Joint Committee on Finance here in Wisconsin, that is the committee that writes the budget, who comes up with the legislative version of the budget and will propose it to Governor Evers later this year. They are taking their public testimony on the state budget on the road for four hearings around the state. They will start just after the April 4th spring election. Surprise, surprise. Their first public hearing, April 5th, in the great Democratic, progressive, liberal bastion of Waukesha. I say that with tongue in cheek, of course. Waukesha, one of the most Republican parts of the state of Wisconsin. Courageous. I know, right? Courageous. Courageous, the state legislature. Let's make the first hearing after the spring election right in our own backyard in Waukesha. Brilliant. That'll be followed by an April 11th hearing in Eau Claire. All right, great. April 12th in Wisconsin Dells. And April 26th in another huge red area, Minocqua, up in the North Woods. Maybe by, April 26th, we'll see. Maybe we'll have the new Hayward station on the air. we can cover that up there in Minocqua, the Great North Woods. The committee is following a similar timeline as 2 years ago when it did three public hearings around Wisconsin and a fourth virtually. Those hearings began on April 9th and the final hearing April 28th. The committee also called four agency heads to testify in the Capitol before the traditional budget roadshow. We'll be keeping track of that and see what old Howie Markline has up his sleeve. What we have up our sleeve is to talk to our friend and colleague, Chad Holmes, the Chad Holmes Show from Wausau WXCO. Coming up next, stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 9:33 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us this morning. Weather forecast for you across the state of Wisconsin. Snow ending, whether you're in Richland Center, Wausau, or Amory. It looks like snow will be ending later on this morning into around the noon hour. Then things kind of clear out tonight, looking for more snow over the weekend, maybe 3 to 4 inches more across southern Wisconsin around Richland Center, maybe 2 to 3 around Wausau, and another maybe 4 to 6 inches by the time it's all said and done on Monday up in Amory. So drive carefully. Looking at the Wisconsin roads right now across the state of Wisconsin, courtesy of 511, Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Most of the roads are slippery in stretches. So be aware of that if you're going to be heading out today. Do so carefully. Things are kind of improving in the southern part of the state, also around Eau Claire. Things are starting to slowly improve there. Wausau remains slippery stretches, and that is where we find our next guest, the host of the Chad Holmes Show. Chad Holmes at WXCO headquarters in the great city of Wausau. Mr. Holmes, we appreciate you taking the time and joining us this morning.
My pleasure, Todd.
Before we get into the hard news of the day, how are the roads up around? Give us an on-site report, if you will, of Wausau for the weather.
The roads are pretty good. If you have a decent vehicle. My vehicle has some issues in the snow, so I think it's more my vehicle than anything else. The plows have been out. I take a little bit of a back route, so I find a little bit of tougher roads from time to time, but I think everything is good. I, in fact, heard the plows right outside the window here.
Just Good. Well, very good. They keep the roadways clear. It said about 7 inches or so in Wausau unofficially, maybe 6 or 7.
I'm not sure exactly. I did not check the exact numbers. That seems like maybe a little bit high from what I see, but I could be off on it, too. I thought it was a little less than that.
It's winter in Wisconsin. I think sometimes, we make a lot about it, but it's winter, and that's we got to just live with it and enjoy it and know that spring is on its way. I appreciate you taking the time this morning, Chad, because one of the main issues I wanted to focus on this morning and get your take on this, someone who lives and is an integral part of the community in Wausau and central Wisconsin. It appeared we picked it up on our wires from the Wausau Sentinel a couple of days ago here. And this story that broke over the weekend into the first part of the week in Wausau, where apparently now you had people from outside of Wausau, that's the last we knew, that had come into the city and had distributed anti-Semitic flyers. And in this piece in the Wausau Sentinel, reprinted posted from someone's Facebook page, allegedly someone who was caught on a Ring doorbell type of video of someone taking these anti-Semitic flyers door to door. We had Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg on the show yesterday. She made time for us, very gracious, fantastic. First time I had met her in that type of interview situation. She did a great job. And she said she was working with the Anti-Defamation League to kind of figure things out. Also the Wausau Police Department, but said this just doesn't represent the Wausau community. Have been in touch with the local rabbi there in the Wausau area as well. Chad, what's your take as someone who's lived there and kind of probably talked to people around the community? What's your whole take on this situation?
Oh, that's a big question right off the top. Number one, it's disturbing. I had a listener call up yesterday early morning and left a message, and I got back to him, and he was one of the people that received this literature. And the first thing I wanted to do was see it, because I think when you read about it and you try to talk about it in an intelligent way, you want to make sure the information is correct. So he stopped by after he got done with work yesterday and dropped it off, and I got it in my hand right here. And it's disgusting. I mean, it is. It's disgusting. It's 4 pages of just, you know, incredibly hateful propaganda.
4 pages.
I agree with the mayor. That's not representative of the city. I think that it's the thing that kind of concerned me is when I was talking to this gentleman, we stopped by, it was lately yesterday afternoon, it was after my show had finished. You know, he said he'd called the authorities, he'd called another media source, and felt like there was really not much interest to, you know, even the authorities say, well, it's just, you know, one of those things. Well, I think that we have to take this a lot more seriously in terms of trying to make sure that we put out a very clear message. This is not acceptable, whether or not it was somebody who came out of town or somebody from within town. I mean, obviously they felt like, you know, coming here, they wanted to spread this message. Well, if they're going to spread that message, those of us here in this town that feel like this is total garbage need to spread the opposite message. So the idea of, oh, it's one thing, one person from outside the area. No, they're planting the seeds of this hate. And we have to make sure that we come out and say, this is wrong. This is disgusting. We will not tolerate this. And whoever did this needs to be brought. You know, they're trying to right off the top. Say, oh, First Amendment, free speech. Oh, no, I'm not a constitutional lawyer. I don't know whether or not there's anything against that in terms of the speech aspect, but I'm gonna give you an example of some of this stuff. I don't know. Have you seen
this page? I appreciate you getting a copy of it, because I have not seen it, and the Wausau Sentinel chose not to reprint it. I respect that decision.
Well,
but
I think it's important if you don't want me to say what it says,
I agree with you 100%, Chad, that we can't just one off this. And here's what and I hope I don't mess up his name, but Rabbi Benjamin Altushuler from Wausau, part of his quote in response to this yesterday said this is just one individual, or perhaps an individual who is part of a group. It is concerning only if people choose to buy into the rhetoric and believe the information despite its lack of truth. So I agree with you. We have to call this out. And I would appreciate, we're not going to read the whole 4 pages, of course, but I think a couple of specific examples so people know the kind of crap that's in this thing.
Well, it starts off with sort of a cover page to start the bile, and basically, you know, talking about, you know, sharing this because the future of the people and the children are at stake.
It's always about the children, right?
Oh, of course.
Until Republicans in Madison decide we're not going to have vaccinations for kids anymore, meningitis and chickenpox, which is what Dewey Strobel is saying, it's all about the kids until it's not. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
By the way, I'm glad you mentioned that vaccination story. I talked about that myself the other day the hearing, because I thought that was just really, really something in itself. But not to get off on a
Yeah, I know. Here. I know. This isn't Dueling Tangents, by the way. Just another show.
So again, sorry, the cover page, and then using the name of Jesus Christ in a totally false way as well, which they tend to do. And then you have a couple of pages. One says, "Let's go, Brandon. Every single aspect of the Biden administration is Jewish." And then about a dozen pictures. Every single aspect of the COVID agenda is Jewish. Every single aspect of the media is Jewish. Every single aspect of the Federal Reserve is Jewish. Every single aspect of gun control is Jewish. Every aspect of Disney child grooming is Jewish. Every single aspect of abortion is Jewish. And then they have these pictures of folks who either, you know, work within these groups with the Star of David on the forehead. Really just disturbing. And then the final page talking about how Satan's lie that the 5-pointed star is his primary symbol, and then they say it's the 6-pointed star.
Oh, jeez.
So it's just...
It's sick. It's just... Yeah. It's and to think in 2023, Chad, when we at times like to think we live in a more enlightened country and world, and then we see things like this, anti-Semitic Nazism still being around, still being... perpetuated across this country and in communities like Wausau, it is beyond disturbing. And you're absolutely right. I mean, Mayor Rosenberg, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but she essentially said, you know, this was trying to divide us as a community. And to your point, Chad, I think you're absolutely right. We have to stand together, united against hate.
Exactly. And I think some of the issues in recent years are because people don't stand up strongly enough against things that are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we see within your former party, mm-hmm. the fear of standing up against Trumpism because they feel like they can't get reelected without the people that support that. And they let things slide that are mm-hmm. said. And we have seen in the last 6 years, things that were not said in polite company said out loud a lot more without the pushback that it deserves.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to sit back and just allow the continuous garbage to pile up and not say this is wrong, people are going to start to believe it. And
you're out in the community more than anybody I know in Wausau, between your news reporting, but also you do so many high school sporting events. Just being out in the community, living in the Wausau community, is this something that people are talking about in grocery store lines, or is this kind of like, you know, something people are talking about in the community, or do they just kind of get so uncomfortable they want to just move on about this?
It's hard to say. I found it interesting, the discussion I had with the gentleman at mm-hmm. Popeye. I did not know him. He just wanted this to be spread, that mm-hmm. he perceived this. He wanted people to know about this, and he was concerned about it.
Mm-hmm.
He was concerned that people weren't talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think mm-hmm. that's so I think there is that element that sometimes it is uncomfortable.
Right.
It is not comfortable to talk about this. I'm not comfortable talking right. about this, even though it's my job.
Yeah.
But I think that sometimes uncomfortable truths have to be spoken about. And I think that, again, if some people are going to get out there with their megaphones and say things that are completely wrong and completely dividing, as I think you very accurately said it, those of us who do not believe that have a responsibility as well to talk about it as well.
I agree. And I think a little bit of it is kind of our you know, Scandinavian, Lutheran, you know, politeness, Midwestern politeness, that we just don't talk about things that are uncomfortable sometimes. You kind of just want to, well, we'll move on. But I think that's, to your point, that's when these things kind of take seed and kind of take root. If we don't stop it at the beginning, if we don't call it out for what it is, anti-Semitism, Nazism, hate speech, completely the stuff that you read off of that, is 100% false and 100% lies. And it is meant to divide our communities and to come in and sow doubt amongst one another. And nothing could be further from, you know, I'm not Jewish myself. I have friends who are. Nothing could be further from true Judaism. Nothing could be further from true Christianity than the hate that which is on those pieces of paper.
And a scapegoating. Anything right. that goes wrong in your life, you have somebody to scapegoat.
Right.
Instead of looking at true issues. I mean, that's why you see, I think, race-based hate go up when there's times of trouble. Because you're always looking for somebody to scapegoat. And this is another aspect of scapegoating. Whatever problems that go so deeper than anything I can understand that these people have. But, I mean, it's like, well, it's always their fault. Well,
Let me ask you about this, Chad. I appreciate you bringing this issue up, and I want to put it in the lens of a lens that you look through weekly, sometimes nightly, of high school athletics. And we had the situation here over the weekend or last weekend during a boys basketball tournament playoff game in Muskego, predominantly white players and white folks there. And he had about 12 to 15 high school guys dressed in pajama pants and wife beater t-shirts and black ski masks making monkey noises at the predominantly black high school student athletes from visiting Beloit. And so far, I have not seen the athletic director from Muskego comment on this or call it out. It's disgusting. It's sick. There were allegations that swastikas were written in the dust of the Beloit boys' locker room, as well as the monkey noises. Again, it goes back to this permission of being racist. And do you see, I asked the mayor this, in your context, Chad, do you see an increase of this type of stuff at the high school athletics you cover? And number two, do you think that things like what happened in Wausau this week and what happened in Muskego are connected by the political vitriol in this country?
I saw one instance where I think you could say there was a possibility of something like that. Whether or not it was specifically racial or not, I don't know. But I know there were some upset folks on a predominantly black team that did come into town to play a game recently. And there was a discussion afterwards. So I don't know whether or not it was just a misunderstanding or just general, you know, riding the other team. I don't think there was specific racial elements, but it does look bad.
Stay tuned. We're going to pick it up after this break. Chad Holmes, the Chad Holmes Show, WXCO and Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. We're talking with him. This is the Todd Allball Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
question quite often, but I don't call into your show because, as mentioned, I'm from Green Bay and I don't get your show in my local market. But I do have the app and I make good use of it. So I have very strong feelings about the specific topic, and I think some blame lies in some very specific areas when it comes to the specific basketball game. From my knowledge, this game was allowed to continue even though this nonsense was going on the sidelines. And I was taught as a very young child that doing nothing is just as bad as doing the act itself. And the fact that this game wasn't stopped and these kids were not ushered out of this game for their hideous behavior makes the grown-ups and the leaders in that room, in my opinion, just as guilty as the kids that were doing it. For example, like I said, I live in Green Bay. If I'd go to Lambeau Field and I would do any one of the things that these kids did, a Green Bay police officer would escort me out of the stadium and I would be told to leave. Mm-hmm. And that would be the best case scenario. I'd probably get a fine and whatever. Not saying that we should, you know, put fines on these guys because they're kids. They're, you know, mm-hmm. who's going to pay those fines? It's going to be the parents. But the game should have definitely been stopped, and they should have been ushered out of the gymnasium and told they had to go home for the night.
See,
and then when they came to school the next day, they should have gotten suspensions or whatever.
Appreciate your call, Stephen. Thanks for calling in. Stephen from Green Bay, always glad to have you on. Chad Holmes, what say you?
It makes a lot of sense what he said. I think it's a challenge for any level of athletics to make sure that the behavior of the fans are at a level that is acceptable. And I would say that at some professional games, I'm sure at some Packer games, there are people that are doing things that they shouldn't do, but they may be a little bit tighter in getting them out.
All right. You're absolutely right. I think the point about leadership matters is so well taken. Wausau, in my opinion, has a great leader in Mayor Katie Rosenberg. I think we appreciate the access. I know she comes on your show, you said, once a month as well. Really appreciate her leadership. But again, if anybody has even the smallest information, call the Wausau Police Department, because sometimes it's the things you don't think are a big deal end up making it a big deal. Chad, what's coming up on the Chad Holmes show today for people who want to tune in? And they could do it, as Stephen said, via the Civic Media app.
Well, I'll be touching on on this story that we talked about, the Flyers, a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. I have at 2:15, Nancy Stenzel, who's a progressive activist here from this area. We'll talk about what's going on news-wise throughout the area and the state at 2:15. And then at 3:15 to wrap up the week, I could try to lighten it up a little bit. I bring in my friend Paul Micklegg, who is the football coach at Newman Catholic High School, two-time defending state champs and eight player.
Nice.
And we discuss everything going on in Wisconsin sports for a little bit.
And very quickly, the Marquette Golden Eagles barely made it yesterday. But they did.
Yeah, we'll have them on Bull Falls Radio tonight, 5 o'clock for the pregame, 5:30 for the tip. Semifinals against UConn.
Chad Holmes, The Chad Holmes Show, 2 to 4 on Civic Media Bull Falls. Thank you, my friend. Talk to you later. Back after this on Civic Media.